We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15 is what we're going to look at first. At the end of the teaching last week, I mentioned about staying strong in the basics. And this morning we're going to look a little bit in God's Word at some believers that didn't really stand strong in the basics. But it's going to be, I think, great learning for us. There are, I'm sure you know, there's a number of places in the Bible, in God's Word, where God's Word is talked about figuratively compared to food. And this is one of those places, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." He didn't literally eat the scrolls, but it's used figuratively. He ate it. He digested it. He assimilated it. It brought him strength, like physical food brings us strength. It brought him the spiritual strength that he needed. Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone," not just physical food for our physical bodies. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And Job, in the midst of all his troubles, which he had quite a bit, he said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That's quite a statement. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to read a couple of verses here in chapter 5 of Hebrews, and then we're going to look at a record in the epistles. Hebrews chapter 5. Everybody there? He's talking about Jesus Christ in verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then in verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say, lots we'd like to share with you, and hard to be uttered." It's hard to speak them to you, seeing you are dull of hearing. Not a compliment. And why were they dull of hearing? It says in verse 12, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." They kind of went backwards. "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe." He's a baby. And that's what we do. We give babies milk, right? They can't handle a steak. You have to, they start off with milk, which is a great comparison in God's word. When a person first becomes born again, you know, you start learning the basics so that you can mature. "But strong meat," verse 14, "belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Obviously, he's not talking about brand new believers in these verses. This is reproof to them. And you know, that's why it's not how long we've been in the Word, how many classes we've taken, how often we go to church. The big question is, are we continuing to grow in God's Word? Do we esteem the words of God more than our necessary food? Do we consistently feed on God's Word? When we read and study God's Word, is it the joy and rejoicing of our hearts? Now, imagine this. Imagine the Apostle Paul coming to your town to teach. You know, you're reading the book of Acts, and in the epistles, he traveled here, and then he went to this place, he went to that place. What a blessing it must have been because of the Word of God that God revealed to the Apostle Paul. What a blessing. When he first went to Thessalonica, it says he was there for 3 weeks, 3 Sabbath days. After that, he left Thessalonica, and then he went to Berea, there a very short time. Then he went down to Athens, and then he went to Corinth. Corinth is like southern Greece. Thessalonica's up top. But when he went to Corinth, he was there for a year and a half. Can you imagine that? The folks in Thessalonica must have been blessed. 3 weeks had the Apostle Paul there, but in Corinth, a year and a half. That's a long time. Now, if you read the first epistle of Thessalonians, which Paul wrote a short time after he left there, Timothy was up there and brought back word, and more than likely he wrote 1 Thessalonians when he was in Corinth, maybe Berea, but more than likely in Corinth. But anyway, the first epistle to the Thessalonians, great praise to them. You guys are doing great. Yeah, you love the Lord. You're just 3 weeks. But the letter to the Corinthians, not so much. So we're going to read a little bit from 1 Corinthians. If you would turn to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Corinthians, of course, is, we refer to it as a reproof epistle, and there's lots of reproof in Corinthians. Chapter 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. This letter was first sent there. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. There, as I said, there's lots of reproof in this epistle. There's a number of places in this epistle, not just in chapter 1, where the title of Lord is applied to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was something that these folks in Corinth needed to hear over and over and over. You'll see why in a minute. I did a recent podcast called The Lord. The word Lord is a title representing authority and power, a position of authority and power. And so when you read it in God's Word, you always have to look at the context. It's used many times referring to God, the Lord God Almighty, but it's also in the Scriptures, the title of Lord for different people. You know, like Sarah called Abraham my Lord. Well, she certainly didn't think Abraham was God, but it's a title. We know from the Scriptures that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead to die no more. Jesus Christ has the title of Lord of all people. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, God has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. God's the one that gave Jesus Christ the title of Lord. God gave him a name that's above every other name. God gave him to be head of the church, the body, the born-again ones. God put all things under his feet. God has given him the authority to execute the judgments that are coming in the future. And God's word also says that in all things, Jesus Christ ought to have the preeminence, not anybody else. So, with that in mind, he said there in the end of verse 2, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. That doesn't mean you all have to like the same football team. We're talking about godly things, God's word. Y'all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There's quarrels going on. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul. I love Paul, boy, I tell you why. And then there's some other group going, oh no, I like Apollos. Man, that guy. Whew. I'm of Cephas, which is Peter. Oh boy, you got to love Peter, right? Jesus. And then you got some others. How about Christ? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided, verse 13? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I'd baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The good news. What good news? The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul preached. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Anyone who believes can receive eternal life. What a great God. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. If there was any foolishness in God, it would still be wiser than any man or any collection of men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That'd be God. And I, brethren, when I came to you, and remember, he came to him and hung out for a year and a half. When I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith, your believing, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, the mature ones, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in or regarding the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Wow, what a hope we have to look forward to. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have received God's spirit. And if you know this epistle, when he gets to chapter 12 after mega reproof, chapter 12 starts with, now, concerning spiritual matters. Well, let me tell you about this. And more reproof, of course. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man, the person of body and soul, person that doesn't have the Spirit of God, you try to speak spiritual things to them and they're like, eh, whatever. If that's what works for you. But he that is spiritual, verse 15, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And he gets back to it in chapter 3 again. And I, brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. When he went in there to Corinth bringing the gospel, people getting born again, they were babies. They were newborn Christians, if you like. But they were babies. So I have fed you with milk. Is there a year and a half? And not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. And look at this. Neither yet now are ye able. You're still babies, is what he's saying. You're still babies. For ye are yet carnal. Why? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, well, I'm of Paul. I follow what he says. Another, well, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Let's stop for just a minute here. Because later in this epistle, in chapter 12, Paul, by revelation, wrote about how every member in the body of Christ, every born-again believer is necessary. And every born-again believer is needed. God needs you. God needs you. God needs you. God needs you. And, you know, we're all different people. We're all unique. We all have different abilities. We all have different long suits. We all have different ways that we can serve. But the point is, we're all needed in the body of Christ. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 12. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. You know, well, I'm not important in the body because I'm just, you know, a little toe. We're all needed. God needs you. And also in that chapter 12, it says that it was God who placed the members in the body as it pleased him. They needed to hear that in Corinth. They needed to hear that. Why? I like Paul. I like Apollos. Also, God's word in that chapter made it very clear that the gift ministries in the body have the same spirit as everyone else. Those who are gift ministries in the body don't get a different spirit, a bigger spirit, more spirit. The same exact spirit in each and every one of us. He makes that so clear in those chapters in Corinthians, same spirit. We're going to come back here in a minute, but just go to Ephesians for a minute. Ephesians 4. And in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those we refer to as the five gift ministries, gifts to the body of Christ. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and apostles. Why? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word perfecting there in verse 12 means furnishing or equipping. For the furnishing or equipping of the saints. With what? A knowledge of God's word. That's the point. Get the word. Why? So that believers can grow and not remain babies. So believers can grow and therefore they're able to serve in the body of Christ. Doesn't God's word say to all of us, by love, serve one another? Well, who's the one another? The body of Christ. Believers, you are needed. Your service is needed in the body of Christ. Perfecting of the saints, by love, serve one another. You know, that's why, you know, when we get together, I mean, it's not to have a nice social event on Sunday. You know, we get together, we sing songs of praise to God, we pray together, we hear messages from God Almighty by way of the manifestations, you know, and then we, of course, hear God's word. That's the whole point, that we have God's word to hear, to grow, to learn, and then we're with each other to bless one another, to help one another, to encourage one another, to edify one another. The Darby version of verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints with a view to the work of the ministry, with a view to the edifying of the body of Christ. The work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ is not just for the gift ministries. It's for all of us. The ministries are to furnish, to equip, so that we all do the work of the ministry. We all do the edifying. And all of us ought to be involved in edifying each other. Read the next verses. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Want to stay babies? No more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Who's supposed to speak the truth in love? Just the gift ministries?
All of us.
Right, all of us. We speak the truth in love. May grow up. You know, growth, maturity. That we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole, look at this, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that beautiful? You're needed. I'm needed. We're all needed to build each other up. Just absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, speaking of, you know, edifying of itself in love, one of the great ways believers can edify other believers is by the operation of the manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy. What a great way. And boy, does he take some time in this, in the, go back to 1 Corinthians, where we were, chapter 3. But in that epistle of 1 Corinthians, in that section of 12, 13, and 14. You ever read chapter 14? Man, it's all about edifying the believers, edifying the body of Christ by operating those manifestations properly. So we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 again. Well, remember verse 4, he brought it up again. Well, once I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? You're acting like someone that doesn't have the Spirit of God and you've forgotten these things I've taught you. Then he said, look at verse 5. Who is Paul? What? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul said, we're ministers. And that word minister means server. Comes from, you know, the main word for service. We're servers. Paul didn't say, you know, who is Paul? We are men of God. and you will address us as men of God, and you will talk about us as men of God. We're ministers. We're servers. Remember Cornelius? When Peter got to his house, you know, Cornelius got down on his knees, and Peter said, "Stand up. I'm a man too. Don't be bowing down to me." We are servers. In fact, he says it again in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." We're servers. And I know God's word talks about honoring those that labor in the word, and that's good. It talks about showing reverence. I understand that. But the point I'm making is the gift ministries in the body are ministers, servers. Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that watereth, but it's God. God gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we're laborers together. We're all working together at this to preach and promote the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. What does the world need more than that? The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. We're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. And what foundation? Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Boy, he's getting it back to who the Lord is, Jesus Christ, right? The rest of this epistle, as you know, is filled with reproof, lots of reproof about lots of things. But the point I'm trying to make this morning, and I'm not being critical of these folks in Corinth, but the point that I'm making is that they spent a year and a half with Paul right there. Right there. And they were still babies. I fed you with milk because you couldn't handle meat, obviously, because you were a baby. But guess what? You're still a baby because I've still got to feed you with milk. And that's the reason for all the reproof. And we don't want to stay babies, do we? Of course not. So we have to remember that this epistle of 1 Corinthians is also part of all seven church epistles addressed to all of us born-again believers. So if there's reproof we need in here, then let's heed it, right? It's written to us to read, understand, and to heed. Why? So that we can grow in God's word and not remain babies. Before we close, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I just want you to see the different tone. 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote this to the believers in Thessalonica. That's who got this epistle first. He spent 3 weeks with them. 3 weeks. But look at the different tone. See, that's why it's up to each one of us if we're going to grow. You can't make someone else grow in the word. Someone can't make you grow in the word. It's up to you. It's up to me. Chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you, look at this, you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Well, that's quite a compliment, isn't it? He didn't say that about the Corinthians. Far from it. For from you, verse 8, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, your believing to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. Well, God bless you. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. When Paul got there, they weren't like, you know, regular church-going people. Oh, there's a new minister in town. They were pagans, idol worshipers that had a hunger for God. How you turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And one of the big reasons for the difference, or one of the reasons, maybe it's the big one, I don't know. But in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." And they that receive God's word as God's word, it will work effectually in any person who decides to believe. We're going to close in Hebrews 5 that we looked at before. We read Jeremiah, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And we read this earlier in Hebrews 5, verse 10. "Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time... You ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful, and the word of righteousness, he's a baby. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So let's all of us keep growing in God's word. And you know, we have so much material that's available to us as a result of the very diligent, hard labor of work in God's word by faithful ministers. And it's just so available to us so that we can learn and grow. So let's keep putting the time and effort to understand and believe God's word, because God needs you. God needs mature believers. So shall we pray? Father God, how thankful we are for your word. We're thankful, Father, not only for the doctrine, but also for the reproof and correction, that we could continue to grow, that we could continue to mature, that, Father, we could be great, wonderful examples of your fantastic love, grace, and mercy, that we could, Father, have those open doors to speak the gospel of God concerning your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, that we could be, as your word says, to be ready always with an answer for those that hunger and want answers. And that, Father, as we continue to grow in your word, that, Father, we can believe the promises so that our lives can be blessed. That, Father, we can see you bring to pass those promises, that you would supply all of our needs, whether they be physical, emotional, mental, for the healing that we need. That we just continue to put all of our trust in you. We praise you, God, for being such a kind, loving, gracious God, and for the eternal life that you have freely given to each one of us. And, Father, as we look forward to that great day when you send your Son back, Father, may we just continue to walk with great love, serve one another, and, Father, just be happy, wonderful children of God in the midst of hell if we have to. But we thank you, Father, that we have you, that you're at work within us, and that we're not helpless people and we're not hopeless. Thank you again for your wonderful word In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, Corinthians is a good book to read once in a while. Covers a lot of things in there, a lot of different topics. So we're going to meet back here again next Sunday. I haven't said that for a year. Blessed to have you all back in our home, and have a blessed week, and let's just continue to grow.